Okay, so I'm starting a new series today, which is very exciting, although slightly disappointing, because I know you loved the last one I did, History Makers. This series is going to be three parts, and I'm calling it Mission Revisited. It's not the most imaginative title, but please forgive me. And the thought behind it is this: every now and again, it is really important to revisit some of the why questions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we prioritize what we prioritize? Why do we emphasize what we emphasize? And why are there certain things that we just don't do? And in the church world and in business too, we call that our mission. A statement of what exactly it is that God has called us as a church, as his people, as individuals within that church to do. What is our purpose? What are we pursuing? How do we judge success? And of course, as Bible-believing Christians, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ defined that for us. We have a divine commission. A commission to go. And a commission to make disciples. The Bible verse should be coming up now, I think. Is the Bible, did I not put the Bible verse up? There it is. There we go. He called us to go. He called us to make disciples. He called us to baptize. He called us to teach. That is our commission. And what individual churches then do is express that commission in a way that reflects their heartbeat, reflects who they are as a people in their particular context, their core spiritual DNA, if you like, how God has wired and gifted them. And often that mission statement is something like this: love God, love one another, and love the world. And I reckon that captures it pretty well. If you do that, I reckon you shouldn't go too far wrong. For us as a church, we express it slightly differently, although in essence it amounts pretty much to the same thing. And our choice of mission statement here at the Barn reflects our heart, and it reflects our passions and priorities as a charismatic church. The fact that we are seeking the move of God, that we are desiring to press into the things of God, ever in pursuit of the purposes of God, always striving to be led by the Spirit of God. And so our mission statement is meet, walk, and serve. On the banner here to my left and your right, the three key words are in bold there: meet and walk and serve. And just tucked in behind it, you can see probably quite faintly the word God in behind. And it took me quite a long time with many long prayer walks to come up with something that was simple, but applicable and hopefully memorable. Something that sums it all up. MWS, meet, walk, serve. And so our mission as a church, as his people, is to meet with God and to walk with God and to serve God. We do that. If we prioritize that, if we stick to that, if we filter everything through that lens of purpose, we won't go far wrong. And for me, I like it. I like that expression because there are easily detectable and strongly implied references to the work of the Holy Spirit in there. Meeting with God is about encounter. Face to face in worship, as we've just been doing. Personal inspiration and revelation from his word. Regular recharging in his presence, meeting with God. And then walking with God is about relationship. Nurturing intimacy through devotion. Fostering dialogue through prayer. And cultivating growth and maturity by allowing the Holy Spirit access to your heart. And then thirdly, serving God is about purpose. Investing our time and energy and resources in kingdom priorities. Repeatedly asking the Holy Spirit what comes next. And loving and caring and helping and encouraging. So ultimately, we bear fruit for his glory. I reckon that's a decent mission statement. It reflects our purpose and our passion. It reflects our process and hopefully our practice. You know, that works for us as a church, but I'm convinced it's also crucial for you as individuals. I mean, the nub of it is this. You need to meet with God. Not at me and say, yes, Jamie, you're quite right. Thank you. You need to walk with God, yes? And we need to serve God. In fact, I would say your personal fulfillment and fruitfulness and success depends upon it. If you do that, you will flourish. Don't, and you'll live an unfulfilled Christian life. Inevitably, your Christian life will be nothing more than religion. There'll be no encounter, no intimacy, no connectivity and dialogue, no growth, no purpose. There'll be no seed and there'll be no fruit. And as we unfold this, there's another dimension to meet, walk, and serve that I want you to catch. And it's a trio of triples. First and foremost, we meet and walk and serve God. Number one. Secondly, but we also do it with and for one another. And then thirdly, we do it with and for those who are outside of the faith. The lost and lame. The seekers. Our neighbors. The prodigals. So let's look at those three categories. Number one, meeting. We meet with God. That's what Sunday mornings are designed to facilitate. Certainly what refreshing is designed to facilitate. Your own personal development, sorry, devotions. Are you meeting with, seeking to meet with God? We also need to meet with our brothers and sisters. Look around the room, give them all a big smile. Christianity is not a solo sport. We do it in community. And so we have connect groups. We have prayer meetings. We gather over tea and coffee and, of course, cake. And it's also important that we meet with others, those outside of the faith, if you like, those seeking and searching and questioning, those in need, those in pain, those in doubt. And I guess the point is that you will never reach them if you're not prepared to meet with them. And then my second set of trios, triples, is walking with God. It's what we call discipleship. Sitting at the Master's feet. Including him in your activity. Drawing on him for grace. Listening to him for the whisper. We also need to walk with our brothers and sisters. Journeying together, carrying the load. The Bible word fellowship, koinonia. The things that we give and the things that we receive. Iron sharpening iron. So walk with God. We need to walk with our brothers and sisters. We also need to walk with others. As we know and as we've been told, people are not projects. They are souls in need of a savior. And you won't impact people unless you're prepared to walk alongside them. Perhaps patiently over the long haul. Being present. Being available. And being approachable. And then the third one, serving God. The audience of one. That sense that everything that I do is for him and as unto him. Led and inspired and directed by him, serving God. We also need to serve our brothers and sisters, all those New Testament one another's. Remember those? We're called to care for one another and encourage one another, to minister to one another, to pray for one another. In fact, I asked my good friend ChatGPT, and he came up with 38 different New Testament one another's. And then, of course, serving others. Coming alongside. Extending a hand of compassion. What's the line? They won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And of course, Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as I said, I reckon that if we do all of that, we won't go far wrong. In fact, we will be living faithful to the commission that the Lord Jesus has given to us. And hopefully, if we do all that, we will bear lasting fruit for his glory. Okay, that's the introduction done. Quite long. We had a pastor in Peterborough who used to get to about 35 minutes in, and he'd look over the pulpit and say, well, that's the introduction done. Everyone would groan, and he'd then go for about another 5 minutes. That was okay. But today I want to focus on meeting with God, and the next week we'll be walking with, and then we'll do serving God as the third part. And as I was pondering how to cover this day, it won't come as a surprise to you that we've talked about this before, and we will talk about it again. I said, great though it is to review, this is hardly a new concept for us. I thought to myself, what can I do to kind of push this one step further to make it really practical? And as I reflected, it occurred to me that we need to meet with God in three scenarios. And the first one is this, is meeting with God for the very first time. You know, we might have heard about him. We might have gone through religious motions for years. We might have a God consciousness, but never had an encounter. A great example would be Saul of Tarsus meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, Saul knew all the right religious rules. He quoted all the right religious slogans. He followed all the right religious behaviors. But he had never stared the Lord in the eye, so to speak. They were essentially strangers. It was merely first-class religion. And Paul, in his writings, both when it came to religion, I was the very best at that. But that all changed when God literally knocked him off his high horse and Saul became personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus. And do you know what? Everyone needs that. Everyone needs that transformative, revelatory moment. When the scales fall from our eyes, in Saul's case, quite literally. When we have an encounter with saving grace. When we meet Jesus, receiving him as our Savior, declaring him to be our Lord. And we are at that point literally born again. And our new life begins. And you know what? As a church, that is a huge part of our mission. Facilitating that, creating the conditions for that, praying and preparing and preaching into that. There is nothing more special and more precious than someone meeting Jesus for the very first time. And if that's never been you, perhaps today is your day. That's the first scenario we all need, to meet with God for the very first time. The second one is this. We all need to meet with God personally and intimately on a regular basis. To fuel and fire our relationship. To keep our faith strong and fresh. To remind ourselves of the strength of his presence, the power of his love. To put ourselves in environments where we can hear from God. To make sure that we experience awe and stay humble. You know, all of that is crucial. I don't know how you could function without it. And I'm certainly not sure why you would want to. And because it's our context, I'm going to dig into the idea that we meet with God here at church. And I'll talk in terms of a church service because that's something we can all identify with, I should imagine. Of course, we can meet with God anywhere, anytime, any place. But our services are carefully designed to facilitate encounter. So you can meet with God. The idea of finding refuge in a busy week. An oasis in the desert. A place where you can plug in to recharge. And that's why here we aim everything at the ministry response time at the end. So three thoughts as to how this idea that we need to meet with God personally and intimately on a regular basis, three thoughts as to how that works and what that looks like. Number one, this is the kind of theory, we'll move into practical stuff in a minute. Number one, God longs, Tree prayed it earlier, God longs to draw us into encounter. That's his heart. And so we need, in response to that, we need to be ready and we need to be expectant. Did you come this morning ready and expectant to meet with God? So first of all, the idea that God longs to draw us into encounter. Number two, my second point, we'll go through these in a little bit of detail. Bended knee goes hand in hand with open heart. So important that we are surrendered. So important that we are yielded. And that's why I love the worship time in church. For me, it's a real worship time. There's something in there that gives me the opportunity to fall to my knees in surrender and to let God know that I'm yielded to him. And then the third one is this encounter always has a purpose. And we need what he has. We don't know what that encounter's going to be. It may be transformation. It may be breakthrough. We'll talk about a little bit of that in a minute. But ultimately, we need to make sure that we are receptive, i.e. ready to receive, and responsive, quick to respond. So quickly working through those. Number one, God longs to draw us into encounter. Here's a statement. He longs to meet with us. He is a relational God. He initiates, we anticipate. He pours out, we must be ready to receive. And don't be surprised if when we come to his house, he shows up. We have a great deal of scriptural promise and precedent for just that. And do you know what? I'm pretty sure that we all need what it is that he has. And so I'm confident that we too need to come to his house on a regular basis. Not only that, don't just be in the room. Don't just be in the room. That's a great start. But be ready and be expectant. The point, don't just go through the religious motions. Present yourself ready every time. Come worshiping. I want the welcome team next week to say, it's really weird, Jamie. Everyone came in humming. And then once the service starts, dive in. Be a participator. You all seen that first responder video, right? But be part of the united voice, the crescendo of worship to heaven. Come worshiping. Number two, when the word is preached, start by praying. Samuel's line, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then when it comes to response time, don't ask whether or not you should respond. Ask, is there any good reason why I shouldn't? Who wants more of God? Nah, I'm good. I'm good. In essence, that is what the ministry call is every week. Who wants more of God? Who wants to step into his presence again? Who wants to lay down their heart again? Who wants to come before the Lord again? Here's the point. The Lord is beckoning. He's beckoning. Are you ready? Are you expectant? Are you responsive? My advice would be, here we go. Come to church ready for encounter. Definitely come to refreshing ready for encounter. Because if what you expect is a religious ritual, then a religious ritual is almost certainly what you'll get. But if you come expecting encounter, you're on the Lord's wavelength. Number two, bended knee goes hand in hand with open heart. This is about surrender. This is about yielding. And I guess a similar principle to the last one. Bended knee is your surrender. Open heart is your yielding. And together they open you wide for divine encounter. As we've always already said, God longs to draw us into encounter with him. And sometimes, just sometimes, God will blow away our resistance and come anyway. But more often than not, he does require our yes. So we need to overcome our own internal resistance. We need to disregard any distracting external factors. And we need to give God our unqualified yes, please. A couple of verses for you. About time we had a verse. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? You understand, don't we? That's a metaphor for meeting with God. A metaphor for encounter. Goes on. Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who is surrendered and yielded. Joshua 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Be surrendered. Be yielded. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonderful, amazing, miraculous things among you. The principle, the surrender comes first and the outpouring comes after. And then 1 Peter 5, verse 5, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble, to the bended knee, the open heart. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You know, your humility opens the door to God's grace. God's grace to lift you up. Anyone ever need that? And then verse 7, of course, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. It is the point, I guess. Don't let pride keep you from your encounter. Paul, if we recall, Saul of Tarsus had to be radically humbled. And don't let flesh get in the way. Whether it's peer pressure, whether it's a bad mood. You guys never have those. I get that. Tiredness, maybe. I'd say this. It will be tragic to let fear rob you of your encounter. Here's a line you may have heard me mention before. This is something that I'm convinced that God whispered in my ear one time as I was worshiping, praying. It's this: too much church takes place in the pew and not enough at the altar. And I know we now have neither pews nor an altar, but I think you probably get what that means. What really it's saying is I think there's too much spectating. There's not enough participating. It's so easy, isn't it, to retreat into the familiar. I mean, I preach over 650 messages in this church. I wouldn't be at all surprised if you're sitting there going, this is very, very familiar. So easy to retreat and hide behind that. It's so easy to stay where it's comfortable. I mean, we give you lovely, comfortable seats. Maybe we should take the seats away. It's so easy, isn't it, to keep your hurting heart safely locked under lock and key. And I understand the inclination to hide. I do. I'm an introvert too. But if you want that breakthrough, you must be prepared to be vulnerable. One of the many things I loved about Refreshing last week was the openness and the vulnerability of those who responded to the ministry call. Really touched my heart. And once self has got out of the way, it is amazing how quickly God will step in. And arguably, until you do, he simply cannot. That's the nature of free will. I love telling a story that my brother tells of in his early days as a revivalist traveling around North America, and he was in a church and he'd spent quite a bit of time with the pastor ahead of time. The pastor was sitting in his usual place, kind of in the front row there, and it came to the prayer time, and I think John was praying, "Come Holy Spirit," and the pastor stood slightly in the aisle and he raised his hands. "I've got this, Lord," he said. "Anything you need to do, Lord, anything you need to do to move in this place today, Lord, please do it." And the power of God hit him, knocked him about 10 rows back, flat on his back. But kind of proved the point. Once self gets out the way, once we get out the way, there's no limit to what God Almighty can do. Just a little quick aside. Wasn't last week interesting? Nice picture. All of us in a circle. Deep inhalation of breath. In an evening, we did it too, and I was practically standing between two of the singers. There's something engaging, isn't there, about being in the middle of it all, about being connected, about feeling part of something bigger. It seems a little bit more interactive. That's what it felt like for me. If I'm honest, rather distracting if you're a people watcher. Or if you can't see the screen, or if the preacher has their back to you. There are reasons church is usually conducted in rows rather than circles. But there are some really interesting benefits to what we tried last week. And who knows, there may be one or two things that we can and indeed might take from it. And to be honest, I'm prepared to try anything that helps facilitate people meeting with God. Increasing the sense of expectation. Encouraging them to participate rather than merely spectate. Anything that stirs that radical responsiveness. Because here's the scoop. There is no limit to what God can do in that environment. I'd say, bring it on. Bring it on. Number three, encounter always has a purpose and we need what he has. So we need to be receptive and we need to be responsive. And now my analytical brain at this point goes, this is a good question. What do we mean by encounter? You know, we've got 29 minutes in, I'm warming up. 29 minutes in, finally he's telling me what an encounter actually is. I thought that would be helpful. What does meeting with God look like? Here's a handful of quick ideas. I've got eight of them, I think. A deep, penetrating awareness of his presence. Number two, the sense of being surrounded with his love. Number three, receiving an infusion, an impartation of enabling grace or special faith. Something that may well happen in that moment of encounter. Fourthly, you might hear a divine whisper. How many times you come to church and say, Lord, I need to hear from you today. I'm at my wit's end. I'm kind of desperate. I need you. Speak to me. That's what encounter is for. Number five, the insurance of receiving inspired direction or confirmation. Again, something may well happen in that encounter moment. Number six, being touched with a surge of his power. That's why sometimes people fall over. Why? Quite simply because they cannot stand up any longer. Number seven, or wherever we're at, number seven, a significant lifting of a burden. And number eight, the healing of a hurt. Maybe physical, maybe emotional, or spiritual. And you know, all of that is available in God's presence. So I'd say this, be hungry for it. Be expectant of it. Go running to it. Ultimately, as we discussed a few weeks ago, fire changes things. So my advice would be to get into the fire. Because God can do in a second what you can struggle with unsuccessfully for a lifetime. Okay, nearly there. Number three. Three scenarios, remember. Meeting with God for the first time. Our need as Christians to meet with God regularly and reconnect and refill and refuel and refresh. Here's scenario number three. It's this. There are times when we need to meet with God specifically. Perhaps the word should be desperately. And interestingly, many of the most powerful biblical encounters came when people were at their wit's end. When they were at their lowest ebb. When they were hurting and broken and desperate. Well, that seems to me to be where God does his best work. Why? That's his specialty. I reckon that's the heart of the Father. I reckon that restoration is the passion of the Savior. And transformation is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A few verses, Isaiah 61, verse 1, you know this one. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He's talking about purpose. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. God loves binding up the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives. God loves to set people free in encounter. And release from darkness for the prisoners. God loves to shine his light straight at you at that darkest moment. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're either of those two, an encounter is what you need, and God has all you want. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of struggle. If you're in times of struggle, it's time to go to the Lord because he is the stronghold. Matthew 11, 28, another familiar one. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Here's the good news. If you are staring at a mountain, if you are wallowing in a valley, if you are grieving a broken relationship, if you are fighting an addiction, if you are nursing a deep wound, then you need to meet with him face to face to do business with God. And again, that is exactly why we offer prayer ministry every week. Here's an obvious line, I think. 100% of the prayers you don't pray don't get answered. I don't know about you, I would rather put my trust in a God that I know cares. So what I encourage you is leave that burden behind. Take that hurt to the altar. Give God a chance to confirm that word with signs and wonders following. And you know what? If you do, you never know what the Lord might do. Okay, how do we respond to that this morning? Fairly obvious. I'd imagine if the worship team would like to come back up, please, that would be great. And let me ask this question. Who needs what God has this morning? Everyone does. Everyone's hand should be up. Who needs what God has this morning? Who needs more of God? The good news is here is your invitation to respond. There are plenty of people in this room who are available to pray. And you know, we will worship now and we will pray and we will minister as long as is necessary. But we'd love to give you the opportunity to meet with God. All that wonderful list of what that encounter might look like. You might need an impartation of strength. You might need the reassurance of his love. You might need breakthrough. You might need deliverance. You might need healing. You might need light shone in the darkness. You might need a whisper of wisdom. Whatever it is you need, I'd encourage you this morning to seek the Lord while he may be found.